This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Ashley?
This is.
Hi, this is Melissa from Satchel PR. How are you?
Good. Thanks for helping arrange this.
Yeah, of course. I actually and I was very glad because I was about to email you asking what the pin was. So thank
No
you for that.
problem.
Okay, great. If you're all set to go, I can get Christy on the line.
Yep, it's recording already, so we are all set.
Okay, great. Hold on one second. Okay, Ashley, you're on with Christy.
Hi, Christy. How's it going?
Hi, Ashley. Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Absolutely.
It's
Thank you.
recording already, so I can just jump right
Okay.
in.
Great.
Is there anything in particular you want me to touch on or focus on that you want to promote that's current?
Ah, you know what? That's so sweet of you to ask. I've got things in such a nascent form right now that I'm developing, so it's not I mean I could talk about the web series that I created a couple years ago, but that's the only thing that you can kind of access that's out there that I'm not just like developing right now. I'm just in the early stages of a lot of stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll
If that
definitely
makes
talk
sense.
about that. Hey, everyone. I have a wonderful guest joining me today. You might know her from her work as a writer on King of the Hill, Raising Hope, Awkward, or Hope and Faith, her own web series, Everyone's Crazy But Us, or most recently from the last season of Modern Family. Please welcome Christy Stratton.
Hi.
How's it going?
Pretty good. We're having some lovely weather in LA, an earthquake, but other than that, we're okay.
Other than that, just a typical Tuesday.
Sure.
This is kind of an exciting time because we're talking just shortly after the Emmys took place.
Yes, it was my first primetime Emmys I had ever been to. I'd been to the Creative Arts Emmys, which we lovingly, some of us refer to as the Crummies. But this was my first primies, and it was a real thrill. It was just, I mean, I did a whole thing. I did a week-long like preparation, went to the dentist, the dermatologist to have the hair, the whole, like, there was a hyperbolic chamber that I could just sit in for a day. I would have done that.
Gosh.
But then going and getting to dress up and all of that and see old friends and celebrate and eat food and drink. That's nice. And there's
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
definitely. And so it was Modern Family was nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series, and you worked on basically the entire past eighth season.
Yeah, season eight. Yes, correct.
And the show has been around for so many seasons, obviously, but I feel like fans have really evolved with it and grown up with it. What was it like coming in when to a more established show versus a show in the earlier stages?
Well, I'll tell you, when people have all as a group have been together for that long already, it's they've established patterns among themselves, and they know what the boss is like and what they will respond to, and it was certainly kind of difficult to find my way in. As a writer, you kind of have a different role to play on different shows. Like different shows, you kind of fit in differently. And so trying to find out, okay, well, what is my, contribution? What am I going to be able to put forth? And once, people kind of got used to the sound of my voice, and it was great to be able to contribute and have storylines and jokes and whatnot. And because it's such a high-profile show, people are watching it. Sometimes I'll say I'm working on a show that no one's ever heard of, but this it's great. There was once someone on, I guess ABC's Twitter or something. There was a joke I wrote that they kind of spliced together as a little GIF, and it was really neat to see that. That was like, oh my gosh, I've arrived. But it was, but it is, it was a very difficult thing to navigate. But they were all very kind to me and encouraging, and so it was also fun because you're telling stories about your family and bringing that out. And because I was the only new voice in the room, I had stories that they hadn't heard yet. And so that was great to be able to kind of put I that's what I like to do is tell is bring stories from my life and make fun of it.
Yeah, I feel like that would have to be pretty refreshing because they've tackled so many different storylines already over the previous seven seasons.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you how many times. And I don't I tried to watch all of them. I don't know if I did, but there's at least three stories going on in every episode. So even if I'd seen something, there's things that you forget. So I'd pitch something and that would be a little close to something else that they'd done. But sometimes they let that slide and sometimes they're like, nope, you know what? We got to do something else because we've already done something very similar. And then I'm like, and I sheepishly back out of the room. So that certainly happened.
Did you have any favorite episode or favorite storyline that you worked on?
Well, I have a couple that I loved. The Haley character, the oldest daughter, I really wanted to see her be a boss, like be in charge of something. And I thought, oh, because they've kind of touched on her doing stuff through social media before. And I thought, wanting to see her do some kind of thing where she was a, you know, in charge and a boss and managing things. And so we had an episode. My boss came up with the idea that there were these other women that worked for her. And so I really enjoyed that episode and seeing her trying to wrangle girls that are more Haley than Haley. And I thought that was fun. And I also really enjoyed a later episode that I didn't write, but I was in the room that I helped break. And the character of Cameron's sister, who it was a recurring character. She's not on all the time. Her name is Pam. And the pitch on the floor was that Pam is coming to LA to be an actress. And I've always been so fascinated with the world of real person modeling.
That's yes, I remember that really, episode well.
It really makes me laugh just imagining how, you know, what people make the cut. And so I said, what if she wants to be a real person model? And, you know, and Mitchell goes with her and he's the more normal looking one. And so that was really fun to not only like pitch that and pitch a lot of those jokes, but also I got to play the agent in the one of the agents in the real person modeling agency. I'd read it at the table with another writer, and our boss was like, hey, you know, to the other guys, like, do you want to do this? And he was like, sure. And it was, I guess, a package deal. So I had to go through that whole thing, and it was just so nerve-wracking being on the stage with these pros. And I'm like, okay, I've got to come. I've got to step right here. I can't turn this way. I've got to look over here. And I have tremendous respect for actors that can do all those things simultaneously.
That's so awesome. Was it one of your ambitions to be on screen, or was it just kind of something that you thought, why not?
Well, you know, when I first came to LA, I did a lot of different stuff in the beginning because I'm like, oh, what do I really want to do? I'm from Texas and I went to University of Florida and I came out here and I worked to work production or work in the entertainment business. I wasn't sure what, but I took classes at the Groundlings and I really enjoyed sketch comedy. And I kind of, at the time, I fancied myself like this, you know, sketch comedian, and I wanted to be on SNL, and I wanted to be on television and all that. But that life is very hard. That's a lot of rejection. That's a lot of figuring out how you fit in to the landscape, and also being good at it, which I got to be honest, I don't know that I ever was very good. So there was a time in my life that I was really into it and wanting to do it, even though it made me very nervous and whatever. And so once I started writing with another gal in my sketch group, I was like, oh, the doors kind of opened. They started to open more than, you know, when I was just banging my head against the wall trying to be a comedian and whatnot. And so I had those ambitions, but and then I got to make my TV debut on Modern Family. Like, I still cannot believe that happened. And
I feel like that's the Twitter bio right there.
It was fulfilling a dream. I don't know that like I got the bug or anything to kind of go back to it, but it was certainly, I definitely acknowledge to myself that like this is very cool and, you know, and all that.
Yeah. And I'm also interested in the advice you would give to anyone who, whether for women or just in general, who kind of know they want to be in entertainment, but are really trying to figure out and carve the path into which direction they want to take it and some of the challenges that anyone might face starting out in that?
Oh, honey, I'm happy to. I'm happy to share any of the things that I've learned. But here's what I will say. I am of a generation that you weren't expected to be successful at 25. And I think young people now have this added pressure. It's not just social media. It's everything, like being able to go faster and make things and create, apps or all these things that you can do by 22 and you sell it for $1 million. I mean, that's all super. And I think that's great that people can do that. But I think that there's a lot of pressure on young people to make it and to, you know, be successful by a very young age. What the advice I would give is just living life and having bad jobs and being in bad relationships and having terrible breakups. All of that stuff that I, because I didn't get my first sitcom job until I was 30. So all of that stuff that I'd lived from moving out here, and I worked in a human resource department. So now I can authoritatively write characters that work in human resources. And having that real world experience of, like, I remember not even being able to afford food. I got that, there was a pancake mix that you only needed water. You didn't even eat an egg. And that would be my dinner some nights. I mean, I wasn't on the streets, but I did have a very tiny apartment with a kitchenette. So I'm just saying, like, my advice would be not to be in such a hurry, to take that time to figure out what your voice is and what your perspective is on things. Because I look back at what I thought I wanted and what ideas I had and all of that at 22, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was just like everyone. I just would parrot things I would hear. It was not ever my own voice, and I would, so it just, it takes time to become a person, and don't be in too much of a hurry, because life is long. Like, there's, you know, and if you make a big thing by 25, I mean, you've still got another, you know, maybe 40 years to live. And so my advice is definitely seizing opportunities and working hard and hustling. All of that stuff is crucial, but to not put so much pressure on yourself, because rejection is it's a relentless stream of rejection constantly. I mean, yes, there's an elite group that really doesn't get rejected all that often, but I'm not in that group. So I continuously get rejected as well still. And I have to kind of step back and say, hey, I've accomplished a lot. I'm going to keep working. Everything's fine, but it's just being able to withstand the barrage of rejection and still looking at every experience as like, this is building something in me. This is a piece of the puzzle that is me, and I can bring to whatever situation that I'm going into. Now, as far as if wanting to go into the entertainment industry specifically, I would say, like, the internet is so great at, you can just do stuff and put it up, and most of it's garbage. But, like, the more you do something and you work with people and you figure out, like, oh, this one thing I wrote worked, this other thing didn't, let's lean into this aspect of things. And it really is a good, you know, arbiter of, like, what works and what doesn't you have put out there. And now the downside of that is now you have something on the internet of yourself that's terrible, but that's kind of what is expected. And just working on that and finding your crew, finding those people that are like-minded and that you can, hey, can you read this? And I'll read that. And let's give each other advice and let's be honest with each other. And not, I mean, this is so silly. I sound like such a mom now. I am a mom of one, an 8-year-old, but, like, and not doing, like, not getting into drugs and not, like, that's also very important. And just staying focused, but having fun and giving yourself the opportunity to fail. And all of that is just really important to give depth to people's work. I mean, I know people who have started work very early and they're very successful and terrific. But a lot of the people that I admire have lived a life, have had some kind of experience, that they bring with them that makes them interesting people to just be around, and it makes their work interesting. And and with actors, it's different now than when I came up. It was like you were either an actor or a writer. You couldn't do both. But nowadays, they want you to do both. They want you to create your own thing that they can just take and make a TV version of it. Like, they want that. And so just getting the experience, getting out in front of a camera, figuring out what works. I also would recommend to anyone, especially in LA, get in comedy classes. The comedy. Like, there's always going to be comedies. There's always a need for funny people of all ages. And I would, if you can tell a joke, you can do anything. That's what I think. And I'm trying to think if I've covered what you've asked.
I mean, I think that's great. I feel like so much of what you just said could be applied to anyone trying to pursue any career path, really.
Yeah. And I would, one more thing. They've got some contests and things out here. Some writers programs, some those things. I did the Warner Brothers TV writers program. I think they still have that. But I would say apply. Don't feel bad if you get rejected. Some of the greats have been rejected from those things. But like Disney has one, and any kind of contest or a script contest, because you get coverage sometimes. They'll send you like, all right, for $25, you can also get us to, you know, someone to read your script. And that's very valuable. To have someone you don't know look at your work is really, really valuable. And it hurts. And here's another thing I want to say. Taking notes and taking criticism, it's so hard, but you have to do it and do it with a smile. If someone has taken time to give you, you know, and I don't mean just comments on the internet, that's all bullshit, but I mean someone reading a script or watching a play or whatever, be open to what they say, their criticism, and to their face, say thank you, and then you can go home and curse them out. But to their face, always take criticism, take notes. Usually I'll do that. I'll be like, oh, great, thank you, and then I'll be like, they're so wrong, what an idiot. And then once I sit with it for a minute, I'm like, okay, I can see what that is. I can process that. I can figure out how to work that in. And here's something else I want to say. I've always, like, it's taken me a while to kind of reach goals, and I still haven't reached them all. But what is great about being underestimated is that you learn more, because no one cares about your feelings. So you learn a lot that way, where like people who are already established and great, like, no one's going to tell them, you know, these Star Wars movies are garbage. Like, no one's going to say that, because people are so high up there or so. But when you're not, and you can take that criticism, which hurts, but if you can take nuggets out of that and build and make something better, I'm all for that. If someone gives me a criticism that, like, helps make something perfect in a script that I love, then, like, I get credit for that. So that's great. Like, I'm all about that. But it's still rough to hear criticism, but it's actually helpful.
Well, I think that's a great segue to talk about your series, which is Everyone's Crazy But Us, and people can still watch that on Funny or Die. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, that came about because I really wanted to do a couple show. There hasn't been one on in a while. Mad About You was kind of the last network couples thing. And I just, a thought came into my head one day when I was on the treadmill, and I'm like, oh, the thing that encapsulates my husband and my relationship with one another is that we think everyone else is crazy. Like, that's what bonds us. That's what keeps us together, is like, come home from the party and like, oh my gosh, can you believe, like, she didn't even clean the bathroom out before she had us over. Like, we're very like that. It just bonds us. It unites us. And I thought, there's a show there. So I came up with this pitch. I sold it to a producer. We sold it to a studio, meaning that when you sell an idea, like, until a network buys it, you're not really making any money. You're not really producing anything. So I had sold them figuratively on this idea, and we went around to all the networks, and the pitch crushed. I mean, I have never experienced that kind of pitch. I just never had. And at one studio or at one network, a woman told me later that it was one of three pitches she heard all season that made her cry laughing. Still, they didn't buy it. No one bought it. And I was done like coming home and just cursing out people. Like I was done complaining. I'm like, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to just shoot it. I'm going to figure out a way to shoot it. And this guy, Alex Zeldin, who had contacted me on the internet a couple years prior saying, hey, one of your King of the Hills is one of my favorites, and here's why. Can I take you to lunch? And so I did. And I mean, because what are the chances that my one fan is also a murderer? Turns out he was not. And he had kind of worked in that area in doing digital videos. And so when I wanted to do it, I contacted him and I said, how do I do this? How do I make this happen? And he said, well, write them all to take place in your house so we don't have to do crew moves. And I'm like, okay, that I can do. And then I set about to work. My friend Janet Varney, who stars in it, I said, hey, I want to do this thing. She's like, great, I'm on board. And she's like, you know, I've always wanted to work with my friend Diedrich Bader. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, if we could get Diedrich Bader, it would just make my life. And we did. And we brought in some of my friends. Kate Walsh is a friend. And my husband was at Comedy Central at the time, and he worked with Keegan-Michael Key, and we had a great relationship with him. So I kind of just pulled out all the favors, and I'm not that person. I'm not that person that, like, asks people to do stuff. But
sometimes when it's the right opportunity, you have to.
Right? And so it came together. And that weekend, and directing and being able to call all the shots, it was really the greatest experience of creatively of my life, being able to. And again, we shot five episodes for, I think, $10,000 total. We shot one more to make it Emmy eligible, which thank goodness we did, because Janet, the lead, got an Emmy nomination for it. It was the first year they had done a short form actor and actress and comedy or drama. It was the first short form ones, and she actually got an Emmy nomination, which was terrific. But
that's so awesome.
It got
I
me
love
on
her.
Modern Family.
She's so funny.
Oh, she's amazing. Like, she's a star. And it was what I loved, being able to just do exactly what I wanted to do. No one still bought it. We took it out. No, still no one bought it. But it has gotten me work and meetings and things, and it was definitely 100% worth it. And I would have loved to have gone on and you know, done episodes of that show and with those people, and it was incredible. And I highly recommend, if you can do your own thing and invest a, you know, a little skin in the game, a little bit of your own money and do something and have a calling card. It was just, it's great to be able to point to that and say, that's my voice. It's right there. You don't have to read a script. You can just watch 5 minutes of this. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. This has been so great. Do you want to remind everyone where they can find you on social media?
Oh, absolutely. The Everyone's Crazy But Us is on Funny or Die, all six episodes. I'm at Christy S. Mann, which is my married name, CHRISTYSMANN on Twitter. I'm on Insta, Christy Stratton. And yeah, that's me.
Well, thanks again, Christy, so much. And can't wait to see what comes next for you.
Thank you very much. This has been lovely.
It's been great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.